Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. In John chapter 10, verse 1 and the verses that follow, the Lord drops the figure of Himself as the door and presents Himself as the Good Shepherd. In this verse, He contrasts the object of the false shepherd with His own object of coming into the world. Today, Dr. Kinlow begins a series of messages on the Good Shepherd. Let's listen and learn.
The shepherd during the New Testament period named all of his sheep, and he knew all of them on sight, and he could call out their names. Now that seems strange to us, a sheep is a sheep, amen? You've seen one sheep, you've seen them all. No, the shepherd, he could actually grab the face of his sheep and look at it. And he knew every sheep by name. He could distinguish his sheep from 100 other sheep. He knew them on sight, and he knew them all by name. And when he called to his sheep, they would hear his voice, and they would come to him, and he would lead them out to pasture. What is so amazing about this is the fact that, remember, these sheep pens most often had many different flocks of sheep in them. And these sheep were all mixed together. In spite of this, a particular shepherd could still spot all the sheep that belonged to him, and he could call them all by name. And not only that, the sheep could distinguish his voice from all the other shepherds' voices. And when he called to them, they came to him, and he would lead them out to pasture. Jesus knows all the names of all who belong to him. Amen. Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep, he knows his flock. He knows all who are part of his church. He knows each individual believer by name. The most important question I can ask based on this truth is, does Jesus know your name? Amen. Wow. Amen. Wow. And now we know God is omniscient and he knows all things. Of course he knows my name, Pastor, so I'm ahead of y'all because some of y'all, you know, junior theologians, I'm ahead of you. Amen. I'm asking, does he know you as one of his sheep? Amen. Wow. Now, he knows who you are and everything else, amen, including last night, amen. And some of you last night was Saturday night, amen. So he knows, but no, does he know you as one of his sheep? One who belongs to him. One who is in the fold of God. There are many who claim to know the Lord. But I think it's much more important that Jesus knows who you are. Yes. Or he knows you as one of his sheep. Yes. Part of his flock. Part of the people of God who belong to him. Yes. Is your relationship with God personal? Is it personal? Is it one-on-one? Or is it just a Sunday thing? Amen. Does your God know you? Because you talk to him. And he talks to you. Through his word. Amen? Do you talk to the Lord throughout your day? Can we catch you driving down the street in your vehicle talking to the Lord? Everybody else think you crazy. Amen. Because ain't nobody else in that car. And look at that guy. I do it all the time. Amen? I preach sermons to myself. I talk to God. And my wife and daughter, they're used to it. We get a visitor over. I'm downstairs on my stage. Pastor got visitors? No, he's just down there. You know, I'm talking to myself, talking to the Lord out loud, or sighing to the Lord out loud, or preaching the sermon, or doing something. You know, because when it's personal. Yes. See, this is how you relate to God when he knows you. Yes. Are you with me today? Yes. Now, you know, some of y'all only relate to God when you get in trouble. I don't know about that one. Amen. You better make your calling and election sure. Amen. Does God know who you are? Does Jesus know you by name? And even more importantly, do you recognize his voice? Notice it says, verse 4, verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and notice it says, the sheep hear his voice. Strange word there, it's the word akouo. It means to hear with understanding. The sheep hear the voice of the Lord with understanding. Those who are true sheep of the Lord, those who are truly of the fold of God, those who are known by the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been genuinely saved, they hear the voice of the Lord with understanding.
Yes.
Or look at it this way. Even though they do not understand immediately, the Lord will make sure that they eventually do. And I say this because the Bible says after Jesus finished his words, all the way up to verse 5, verse 6 says, this figure of speech spoke Jesus to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. And what did he do? He didn't leave them there.
Amen.
The Bible says, so he said again. And then he states it to them very plainly, 7 through 10. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them.
Amen.
The reason why Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will make sure you, as one of his sheep, understand his words or the words in the scripture is because God wants his people, his sheep, to know with understanding. All that he intends for them to know. Most of you want to know the secret things of God. Amen. What's that? Deuteronomy? That's where you at. I don't know how many times I've got this question. You know, Revelation says when the Lord comes back, he has a name written on him that no man knows. Pastor Kenlow, what is that name? Amen. Well, said nobody know it. See, most of us want to know what God doesn't want us to know. Amen. But listen, God wants you to understand all that he intends for you to understand. Now, I admit that what God has revealed to us in his word is vast. And I don't believe anyone understands it all, but I do believe God will see to it that you, as one of his sheep, continue to hear and understand the word of God from the moment you come to know Christ as Savior until the day you are with him in heaven. In other words, God will enable you to progressively grow in the knowledge of his word from the moment you come to know him until the day you stand before him. Amen?
Wow.
Because the sheep hear his voice with understanding.
Yes.
Have you ever read Paul? He often says, the Holy Spirit through Paul, he often says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren.
Yes, yes.
Now, I know that's the King James, New American Standard. I would not have you uninformed, brethren. The reason why we have many statements like this in the Word of God is because the Lord, Jesus the Good Shepherd, he wants his sheep, his people to hear his voice, his word, and understand. Because the sheep hear his shepherd with hear their shepherd with understanding. See, this is the difference between God and Satan. Satan deceives by two, maybe three main means. You know, Satan will help you to understand false doctrine. Satan will help you understand false doctrine. That's why when the Jehovah's Witness come to your door, they put most of y'all to shame. Amen. They got y'all tongue tied. Blah, 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 blah. As they reading to you out of the Green Phantom. Amen.
Yeah.
Reading that John. No, the Bible said in the beginning was the word, and the word was a God. Y'all, it does say that, don't it? Next thing you know, you down at the watchtower. Amen. Because, you know, Satan will help you understand some bad stuff.
Come on, teach
us. He really will. You know, most of them guys, when you stop at the stoplight and they got that newspaper with the suit coat and the bow tie. And they're giving out them papers. Most of those guys know their stuff. And that's why, you know, we get into a conversation with them, we're lost. But listen, God does not want you to be ignorant, my brother. Amen. He wants you to be informed. Listen, Satan, well, he'll deceive by helping you to understand what's false. Or he will confuse you when it comes to the truth. Or he will help you not to understand the truth. This is one of the ways you can know if you are listening to a false teacher. That is this. If you never understand and you're always confused, this is not how God operates. Several years back, a pastor in this area went off the wall. And he wrote a book. And I read through the book. And so one of the members called me up and said, Pastor, I really need to talk to you about this. So I said, fine. He was in my study. And I got the book out and read a couple of paragraphs. And I said, tell me what this means. He said, I had no idea. All I know is Pastor saying for us just to trust him. Pastor's entourage and his harem has told us just to trust him. And I'm saying, you're trusting somebody, you don't know what they're saying. That's right, Pastor Kellogg. He's telling us he's never led us astray in the past. Well, he lead you astray in the present. Amen. Amen. Because that's not how God operates. Jesus, the good shepherd, he has heard and understand. And he has heard by his people, and he is understood by his people. And I'm telling you, if you don't understand and you really want to know, God will make a way for you to get it. Amen? Amen. He will make a way for you to understand all that he wants you to know in this Bible. 4-5. I'm almost finished. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of him, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. After the shepherd during the New Testament period called to his sheep, and the sheep heard his voice, knowing it was their shepherd. The shepherd will walk ahead of the sheep, and the sheep will then follow their shepherd. In contrast, these sheep would never follow a stranger, but they would flee from him because they did not recognize his voice. Amen. This is a marvelous illustration the Lord uses. I did some research on this, and I discovered this. These sheep would refuse to follow a stranger. Why? Because his voice was unfamiliar to them. If a stranger would try to imitate their shepherd's voice and call them, the sheep would instantly detect the difference. Amen. And they would scatter. Amen. In panic. Wow. So if you were trying to mimic the real shepherd, I don't know how they call the sheep. Hey, sheep. I don't know how they call them. Amen. And you're trying to mimic his voice. The sheep knew the difference. And when they heard a different voice, they would scatter. Flee from the false shepherd. You know, beloved, the same is true of those who are genuinely saved. The same is true of those who are the true sheep of the fold of God. That is, when they hear the voice of someone who is not truly of the Lord, they will not follow him, but they will flee. They will run from their spiritual lies and their spiritual sanity. Now, I know y'all getting quiet now. Amen. And the reason why this is true is because of the Holy Spirit who indwells all believers. One of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit to the people of God is to lead and guide them into all truth. John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle John, perfectly complements this. 1 John 2:20-21, by saying, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, and because no lie is of the truth. Verse 26, 27, in the same chapter, John says, these things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things. We got an anointing today teaching people about nothing. Amen. Anointed child. Spirit flowed in. And everything that happened, it was not like the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And it's true and it's not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you abide in him. God will never leave those who are truly saved deceived. Let me say it again. He will not leave you deceived.
Amen.
Now somebody, you know, they may throw a monkey wrench at you, but he won't leave you there. I've often illustrated this, and I've given this illustration before. Let me give it again. When I was a boy, we had a rabbit hound named Billy. And he was old, a beagle. He was slow, real slow. Amen. Hunting rabbits one time, and he caught a rabbit. He couldn't hang on to him, though. Rabbit beat him up, amen. But anyways, he could trail a rabbit. And I remember, you know, my dad would take me out, and Billy'd be running a rabbit. And sometimes we'd be waiting there an hour. And I'm telling my dad, this, you know, what's up with this? Amen. We need to move on. But my dad could tell by how he was wagging his tail that he wasn't through.
Yeah.
Billy would go around in circles and circles and circles. See, the rabbit would come back and cross his tracks and try to confuse him and to get him to go on the old tracks when he first got up. So the rabbit would come back and they call it cross his track and get him confused. And Billy would be confused sometimes for a half hour. He'd just be, I could see that tail boy. He just sniffing. He'd be going from, he'd go where he originally started, where the rabbit originally jumped up. He'd be sniffing. He'd follow him a little ways and he'd go over here, go over there, and he'd still sniffing. But you know, normally when dogs trail, they bark. But he wasn't saying nothing. And my dad said, just wait, son. He said, when you hear him yell out, oh, he got him straight. And given enough time, even though the rabbit had thrown him a slip, Billy would always figure it out. Amen. And sooner or later, he let out that yell, oh! And the rabbit was as good as in the pot. Amen. I remember one time he was so bad, he trailed two rabbits at the same time. And two of us trying to slip him. He figured it out. He figured it out.
Amen.
See, all of y'all are Billy. Amen. You're a rabbit hound. Amen. And Satan is going to try to throw you a slip and a mick. He's going to try to cross your trail. He's going to get you all mixed up. But I'm telling you, if you really know the Lord, the Holy Spirit who dwells within, he will not leave you there. Amen. You may be fooled for a while, but sooner or later, God's going to allow you, illuminate your mind to figure this out. Amen. I do not believe the God who has saved us to be deceived for 25 years. I'm not buying it. I think back in my life as a believer. I recall a time when I heard someone teaching something. It was either false or error. And I always knew in my spiritual gut, there's something wrong with that. Even though I could not articulate why it was wrong in a clear, lucid, biblical exposition back, I didn't know no Greek exegesis back then. I ain't knew all that. I couldn't even spell exegesis. Amen. But I just knew, no. Something's not right with this. And people used to get mad at Pastor Smith and me because we'd be someplace. We were young. We didn't have tact. Amen. We didn't have tact. We weren't tactful. We weren't trying to hide nothing. It was myself, Brother Colbert, Brother Fonzie, and Pastor Smith. We'd be sitting someplace in somebody's church, and the guy be saying something crazy. And we were not Bible scholars, but we just knew. And we'd look at each other like this. It just don't sound right. But sooner or later, God would illuminate my mind in the scriptures. And I could articulate why what I heard years ago was false or not right. Many of you have had the same experience. The reason why this is true is because you are one of the Lord's sheep. And thus a stranger you will not follow. But you will flee from him or her because you don't know that voice. In other words, the Holy Spirit will not allow you to be deceived. He will not allow you to remain deceived. Amen. Leads us to ask the question, and then I'm through. It leads us to the question as to how some who say they are saved. In other words, they are part of the flock of God's sheep. But they are following someone. Or they have submitted to someone's pastoral leadership who is teaching blatant false doctrine, blatant error. And I ask this question because the Lord clearly says in this text that his sheep will not follow a stranger. But they will flee from them, for they will not follow the voice of a stranger. Now somebody got to be right and somebody got to be wrong. I have a sneaking suspicion the one who is right is Jesus. Amen. Let me finish this because I got to go. Why do people who profess to be a part of the flock of God follow? Why would you follow any of those L.A. preachers? I'm just curious. Amen. Whose glory is their shame. Now, Philippians 3:18 through 19, the Holy Spirit through Paul says this. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite or belly. And then Paul says, whose glory is in their shame. What they are ashamed, what they should be ashamed of, they glory in it. Who set their minds on earthly things. I'm still trying to figure out why do those who claim to be the sheep of God follow a man who categorically denies the nature of God or the scriptural fact that there was one God who eternally subsists, three distinct persons revealed to us in scripture, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? I mean, why? You know, you say you wanted the sheep of the flock, but why would you follow that? Why would you follow somebody who's doing so-called ministry with pagans, New Age sorcerers, gurus, witches like Oprah Winfrey and Deepak Chopra? Why would you follow that? Why do people who profess to be one of the sheep of the great shepherd, Jesus, follow a man who tells his leadership, I'm going to lie on the Holy Spirit, and you better back me up, lest you out of your ministry. Why do people who claim to be lambs of God singing that song, oh, Lamb of God, I just want to be a Lamb of God, oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God. Why would you follow someone that will get in the pulpit and boldly confess that the God of the scripture, who says his understanding is infinite, Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and abundant in strength, his understanding is infinite. Why would you follow someone who will get in the pulpit and say, you know what, God just may not know everything. Now, you know, if God don't know everything, we know nothing at all. Amen. Why would you follow someone who proclaims he is God's master broker and he can intercede between you and God, when the scripture clearly says, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. See, all of these are valid questions that we need to ponder because According to Jesus in John 10, 5, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger. I don't know if I'm going to answer the questions or not. I may just let you meditate on that and come to your own biblical conclusion. No, I better not. I think there are one or three answers. Number one, they are saved and they will eventually understand because God will see to it. Number two, they are saved and know better. And as a result, 2 John, they're going to lose some crowns and rewards. And then number three, they just may not be part of God's flock, God's sheep. Only solutions, amen. Now, you may be able to come up with some more. Let me know, amen. I'm open, amen. Jesus is the good shepherd, amen. He's the good shepherd, amen. And I pray that he knows your name. And I really pray that because he is the good shepherd, you know his voice. He knows your name. And a stranger, you will not follow. You will not follow anything that's not like Jesus. Amen? I pray that these truths have sunk down deep into your hearts, your minds, and your souls today. Let's pray. Amen? Father God, I praise you and thank you for all things. I thank you for this marvelous word of God. I pray that we truly understand that Jesus is the only and the great shepherd of the sheep. He came into this world the only legal way, by fulfilling all God had predicted of him in his word. Lord, I pray that we understand that God the Father bore witness of him and opened up the door by saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." I pray that we know that Jesus, the great shepherd, he knows his sheep. And those of us who are saved, we hear with understanding. We grow in our knowledge of the Lord because God desires this. And I pray that we understand that as sheep, a stranger, we will not follow. And so, you know, I just ask you to search yourself. If any of this applies to you today, you know, you need to make some choices and decisions. Amen. About whom you're going to really serve. And so I pray that God has impressed these things upon our mind today. Perhaps there's someone today, you do not know Jesus Christ. The most important thing that any of us could ever do is to give our hearts and our souls to the Savior. His name is Jesus. We say it often. People have heard it so many times. It doesn't bother them. But, you know, tomorrow's not promised. Tonight is just not promised. And so we need to know Christ as our Savior. Amen. Most importantly, it is by repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. If there is one today and you don't know the Lord and you want to give your life to him, the altar workers are here to minister with you and to you. If there is one today, would you raise your hand? I really pray for all today. And I pray for anyone you may not know the Lord. Pray that God will convict your heart. Convict your mind.
What a blessing to have a good shepherd that loves us and cares for us. It's also a blessing to have one that speaks to us through the Word. If you're not hearing the voice of the Lord through His Word or experiencing His love and care, you may not be one of His. Or it could be you've drifted away from Him and you know you are going the wrong way. This is tragic. If that is you, you must repent and return to the Good Shepherd, the Shepherd of your soul. I'm sure He's been calling you by name because He loves you and He knows you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II. Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio.